I had a friend some time ago who, he was a drunk, a real drunk. He was Irish, stereotypical Irish alcoholic drunk, got in fights, you know, the whole trip. Only when he was drinking, when he was not drinking, he was a nice guy. When he was drinking, he was mean and fighter. So he decided, or it happened that he decided to stop drinking, and he went to Alcoholics Anonymous, and he got this sponsor. You're supposed to get a sponsor who can help you do something called work the steps. So he did all that and got himself a sponsor. He hated the whole idea that he'd had it with the drinking. It was killing him. So he got himself a, what he called a damn sponsor, and who took him up to Lake Casitas one day to do something, which is, you know, beautiful out in the country. And they went there at his sponsor's suggestion to do something called the fifth step, which follows upon having written down in as much detail and as thoroughly as you can every single thing you've done that isn't cool. In four categories. So if you do that, then you're, the next thing you gotta go tell someone about it. Having been told that we're as sick as our secrets. So you have to tell someone all your secrets. Not a real thrilling prospect. Okay, so they're up there, and this Tim guy is supposed to be telling his sponsor all his secrets, and he's written down four categories. Two of which are money and sex. You gotta write all that down, and what your relationship to those two things has been for however old you are. What have you done with those two things? And there are two others. So anyway, they're at the lake. This is heavy trip. Tim, you know, Tim's going to have to reveal himself to this guy. And Tim's a sportsman, you know. So they're sitting at the lake, and the speedboat goes flying by, which is the best, the coolest speedboat Tim's ever seen. He's just totally like, wow. So he says to the sponsor, look at that incredible speedboat. He's kind of excited, you know, because he likes speedboats. And the sponsor looks at him and says, it's just a boat, Tim. Shiva. It's just a boat. That's terrible. You don't want to be saying that to people. But it's not so much other people as can we say it to ourselves. It's just a cold. It's not the first symptom of cancer. It's just a woman with nice clothes on. Style, you know, dressed stylishly. It's not a broad. Of course, we see what we want to see. So maybe it is a broad to some people. Other people might see an immortal being there, disguised as a broad. That's another thing about Shiva that comes out in all these stories. There are all kinds of stories about him in the East Indian tradition. And a lot of the stories have one common element, which is that he comes in all these different disguises. Put another way, you never know when you're going to run into him. But the problem is, when you run into him, you don't know it's him. You think maybe it's a street person. Or maybe it's a CEO of General Motors. He could be anywhere. Well, actually, he is everywhere, according to the tradition. So going back once more to Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva, and why Shiva is the main guy, creation, preservation, and destruction, regeneration, going back to that, why is Shiva said to be the main guy? Because that Shiva lingam we were talking about earlier, it has a base. The base of the Shiva lingam is Brahma. And the middle part of the Shiva lingam is Vishnu, and the top of it is Shiva. So he's all three. But he's at the top. But he also is destruction regeneration, so when he regenerates, that's Brahma. So you could say, put it image-wise, you can imagine the top of the lingus circling around to the bottom and going back up again, going around ceaselessly, everywhere all the time. So once a person realizes, this would be very rare according to the traditions, but once a person realizes what Shiva, who Shiva is, then they're always in bliss. There's nothing to prevent them from just being in bliss. Which is why you find some of these Shiva type people, I mean ones who have realized to a certain extent, they're always happy, at least inside. But the weird part is they might not be appearing to be happy. Maybe it's time for them to say something negative to you. Especially if you're their student and they've taken you on as a student, some person who understands Shiva a little bit. You don't want a teacher who's in the Shiva tradition if you want all sweetness and light. Because a lot of people's conception of a spiritual teacher is, oh, it's all wonderful. We're all one. Isn't it incredible? Shiva's not going to do that. Because it's not true. I mean, we are all one, but we're not really. That's not how we feel. That's not where we live in our hearts. We're all our individual little person. I mean, I can believe, okay, we're all one, but I don't live and think or feel that way. So Shiva, if you take on a teacher in the Shaivite tradition, it's not sweetness and light at all. It's like fierce. And all the accounts of real spiritual teachers, they're fierce. There's no sweetness and light. All these accounts of Zen masters, they're cruel. And the weird thing about these teachers is they give you tests, but you don't know you're being tested, maybe until years later. They might say something to you like, you really need to get over being good and then walk away. And you didn't think you were being good. So why in the hell is this person telling you to get over it? So that'll take you a few months or years to get over being good. It's not easy. We're taught to be good. You good little boy. Right? Now, getting over being good would have to do with why Shiva is against institutionalized religion and organizations, because they all have to do with telling you what being good is, and then you just do that and you're good. So Shiva, no, get over it. Or the teacher in the Shaivite tradition might look at you, as one did to me one day, just out of the blue, say, and this is when I was studying all this stuff, really heavy into it. Bhagavad Gita, Shiva, Buddha's Four Noble Truths. I mean, I was really, really getting to know this stuff. Kind of thinking I was moving right along. And this teacher looks at me and says, just out of the blue, casually, looks at me and says, well, Barrett, you're aware, of course, that what you do not know fills libraries. Couldn't get around that one. What I don't know fills libraries. Bummer. I was starting to think I knew so much. And take a look at the Ventura College Library. You don't even know that. Let alone UCSB library. It's full of stuff. So they tell you stuff like that.